up in here, but it sure is
fun. Hola, hola, hey, hola, hola,
hey. I don't know what it is about this groove that you're making us move, but it sure is
fun. Hola, hola, hey.
It's time to rap. Shall we?
Sure.
Getting played back, rolling strong. Dope and deaf.
We can get funky with the best.
We're just hyping it up.
You know just how it had to be.
Just take a look around, boy. Can't see eyes up on the rushing.
Girl, we just rushing.
With rocks and crack.
While birds on percussion.
Setting the stage for the stage to get set off. I bust a rhyme and a dance with this set off.
So get off, because you bit off
more than you can chew.
Now watch the dynamic duo do a little go-go thing.
Come on, rock and swing.
You gotta roll with kid and play. Now everybody sing.
So we're the stars of stage, wax, and video.
We're here to tear it up, so come on, here we go.
Pump it up, this is high power stuff.
Kid play, can't get enough
of that funky go-go-go rhythm.
You wanted a dope jam?
Well, that's what we're giving.
We're headed for fame,
because kid play driven.
Boy, we know game.
And large is how we're living.
We stay paid.
You know the boys have got it made.
See, I'm the friend.
And I'm the fella with the high top fade.
Get down to the sound.
You know we're about to turn it out. Roll with kid and play. Everybody shout.
Hola, hola.
I've been off for a minute and, you know, things have been happening. But first and foremost, family, how are you all doing? December 2021, last month, new month of 2021. I hope each and every one of you are doing outstanding. Before we get into our show today, as always, family, welcome to Sound Off, Only Fear Fears, for fear does not live here. I am your host, Miss Tanya E., also known as Miss Right Now, that grown woman doing grown things, seasoned with sprinkles of some wisdom, so forced me to be able to do this today, family. Welcome. If you're listening live, we want to thank you so much for taking the time out to be with us today. And if you listen to the archive show, we also want to thank you for taking time out to listen to us, because we don't take your time for granted and we don't take you for granted. So, family, listen. We have a very special featured guest on hold that I'm about to bring on. And I must say that it's been a long time coming to break bread with this Mr. here. What I want to say to you all, family, is that friendship, when you have someone that you can call as a friend, regardless upon the trials and tribulations, the roller coasters, the ins and outs, the back and forth, so forth. Treasure that. Respect that family. And know it's very few people that we can call friends today, family. And I am so blessed and honored to have our special featured guest today that's going to break bread with us and letting us know how he is switching his hat from serving and protecting to serving and cooking soul food. So, family, without further ado, I would like to bring my special featured guest on because I want him to tell us about himself, opposed to me over here about to give y'all the whole biography from A to Z. So, family, help me welcome our special featured guest, my friend, my homie. Clarence F. of Our Kitchen Catering. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay, this is going to be a disclaimer.
Oh. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure being on with you. You know? It's a pleasure being on with you, and I heard that song that played in the very beginning, and I thought maybe you played that for Eric, and I was like, wait a minute, I thought I was about to get Eric on the phone, you know?
Yeah, I did. Listen, before we break bread about this, I know what I'm doing on this side. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you're just going to have to work with me, but I have to give a disclaimer. I have to just get a disclaimer. I may call you C, opposed to Clarence. So, family, just bear with me, okay? Because me and C go way back. But today, we're going to break bread, and you're going to tell some of your history and your legacy upon how back in once upon a time with the kid and play situation. Just introduce yourself. Come on, let's just introduce yourself. Oh, my goodness. Welcome
okay,
to Sound Off.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Introduce yourself.
Okay. All right. So, you know, I'm Clarence, of course, you know, affectionately known as Steve to, you know, my good friend Tanya. Just going back to, you know, you're talking about kid and play days, you know, back in high school, you know, everyone, you know, around that time we were trying to be, you know, rap artists or DJs or whatever case it be. And, you know, this is what we did, you know, and I went to, Rice High School, myself and my good friend Eric from back in the days, you know, Rice High School in Harlem, Catholic High School. And, you know, we had some of the best, we had some of the best parties, you know, in the city, you know, high school wise. And, you know, that's where I ran into, you know, my good friend, Tanya with the battery pack on her back, you know, cause she can dance, you know, I don't know if you guys know that, but she get down. And so, you know, just moving, you know, along, you know, we tried to do our little, you know, our little entertainment thing, which, you know, didn't really translate into much because if it did, then, you know, you guys would all know who I was and you wouldn't have to be introducing me like that. But, long story short, I mean, you know, we're going to get into, you know, where I transitioned to from, you know, from high school, you know, just working and then eventually, you know, living with my mom and, you know, my step pops, you know, in Harlem, and my step pops is just like, hey, listen, you know, why don't you take me to test for the police department, you know? So, you know, it was like one of those things. It wasn't, you know, wasn't my dream. Wasn't what I, you know, was aspiring to do. You know, I was really more into computers and stuff like that, but said, hey, you know what? He's never failed me. He's always given me, you know, really good advice. So I'll give it a shot, see what it's about. You know, it wasn't really what I wanted to do, but, you know, we'll check it out. And did 30 years with the police department, you know, just a number of different, you know, positions and units and ups and downs and different things like that. So, I mean, do you have any questions for me, T, or am I doing okay? Should I just keep talking?
Yeah, I didn't tell you to tell the whole story. Yeah, I got questions for you. That's why we're breaking bread.
I thought you were going to be asking me questions and I'd be answering the questions. I thought, you're going to be feeding me, some questions that I can answer.
I am. This is what we do. We don't do scripts over here. We just go along with the flow.
Ma'am.
That's why we are so authentic. So this is what I'm going
ma'am.
To do. For C family,
mm-hmm.
we're going to
okay.
just take it back because, like you said, you're a graduate of Rice High School. That's where we met. My battery pack being called the Energizer battery. and Clarence, again, Harlem native. What can I say? Okay, the AT&T. Let's go to the rapping.
Oh,
AT&T,
now, all this and that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Let's go back.
I tried to gloss over that. You just brought me right back to that one, huh?
you're not gonna let me off the hook
on that one, huh?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Because
so,
that's what they need to know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So tell them about that, because the AT&T. That's why I put the kid in play, because you and Eric was like the second kid in play that was in formation. So tell them about how in the sense of your AT&T days of not the telephone. It's just ironic, like telephone, right? But your name of your rap group, and how did you and Eric form the rap group AT&T?
All right.
And then you're going to give me just like a good, let me give like 16, give me 32 bars if you can, so we can roll into the next situation. Because, yeah, I'm going to do that with you. Because
man.
I know you do it around family and all. I know you still got it in you. So you want to share.
Don't even do that. Don't even do that. You're
going
to make me pull a karaoke machine out. So anyway, Eric and I also met at Rice High School. Rice was an all-boys school, just so everyone knows. So when I met T, she was at the one of the parties. But Eric and I went to Rice, 4 years at Rice. Met him, hit it off like right away. He was just like very down there, real cool, and we're still very close to this day. This is going back to the we went to school 1984 to 1988. Like I said, everyone back then, we were just trying to do some, something music-wise, DJing, rapping, whatever the case may be. And, I used to write. So, I didn't write a whole lot. I wrote a little bit, but, I used to write, and Eric DJed. And we started off as the Wise Two. I don't know if T even knew that, but that's where we started off as. And that transitioned into to AT&T. Later on when we started trying to bring other members into the group, my guy, Grace, rest in peace, God rest his soul, him and, a few other guys, we're trying to put money together to get studio time and do things like that, we were just youngins back then, aspiring to do something and just not really understanding, what all that goes into like really being successful doing it. But, we did some things and, I'm happy for the experience, and just having, done, just some of the things that I did with, with Eric and Vince and those guys,
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm doing no bars. I don't know if I'm doing
you can give us a little bit of something, because I have to tell y'all family, okay, listen, Kid and Play would have had to run for their money, because Eric Vince, may he rest in peace, and C, they definitely had it going on. And I was going to be, I guess, their little backup dancer, you know what I'm saying?
No backup dancers. The show would have been all about T, and we would have just had to you would have been the headline. We'd have been in the backup. We'd have been like Gladys Knight and the Pips over here.
Hey, you do remember at my graduation, I said when I had I don't know if you remember when I had they called me up to speak or something. I was receiving the award, and I was like, "What's up, Tramp?" Because remember I had a dance troupe. Well, we did a dance and singing in my school. I went to Hammond and Truman. And
right.
And my three dancers was Sean, Elliot, and Wayne. And I was, I guess, you know, salt and pepper, but it was like the Tramps. We danced to the Tramps. So when I said the Tramps, mm-hmm. what's up, Tramps? You heard the audience go like, oh, like, who is she calling Tramps? Y'all have to forgive me. It's always, I always feel a little special, right? Look, here it is. But anywho. So listen.
Yeah.
So again, that was the introduction to where you are today, because again, the reason why I brought that up is because as we have become seasoned, we realize that, and throughout our journey, we are judged by the cover of our books, and folks don't really know our journey and where we've been in our walk. So that's why I wanted to bring up the AT&T to show that just because you became NYPD, and much respect to you for serving and protecting the streets of New York and beyond, much respect to you, and thank you so much for your services, that you are still a person outside of that uniform. So that's why I wanted to bring that part for those
okay.
who did not realize. You know what I mean? So now
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let you run away from giving that 16 bars. So what I'm going to do is, C wrote a rhyme for me at one upon a time, and I still remember it. So what I'm going to do is, because he doesn't want to give us 16 bars, I'm still going to try to pull him into a family. But let me just, I'm going to go a cappella and just say what he had wrote for me, okay? Can we do that for a second? You ready, C?
I'm ready. Go ahead. Do your thing.
You remember, see? I'm about to influence you. I'm about to inspire you.
You talking about Dark and Lovey?
You're
not talking about Dark and Lovey.
Wait, I got to do this with you?
I'm not doing this with you.
Okay, listen.
I don't even know if I'm going to remember those
words. Here comes the rhyme that C wrote for me. So I'm going to do it. See, you know I'm bold. Okay, here we go.
Go ahead. Do your thing.
You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready? Okay.
I'm ready.
I pick up the mic and let the brainwave flow. Sucker MCs try to diss me, honey, just don't know. I'm dark and love me. Yes, I'm bad, and I'm here to stay. Combine my lyrics with the beat to make your mama sweat. Now I control a crowd with a line or two. I'm making others run for cover when I do my due. Yes, I become the microphone. The mic's my slave. Getting hyped and rocking parties, so I write old age. You thought I was an amateur, but that's okay. I may have changed my name. I may have changed my C's. I may have changed my looks, but I'm still Miss right now. And dark and love me. I'm dark and love me. See, they didn't realize I'm trying to tell you. Hey.
Yo, that's crazy. I'm about to go get some studio time for you right now. We're going to do this. We're going to put we got to put that on lock.
I'm going to be trying to remember the days of the week. No, we got to wait.
Yo, that's crazy. All right. Let me see, because you're embarrassing me now. I hope nobody don't be like,
I knew I was going to go ahead.
All right. So you guys got to remember, this is from back in the 80s. This is not like, you know, I'm not trying to compete with anybody. I need these new artists or whatever. These guys are amazing. So I do my thing. Ready? So illegal, loved by all people. Cherished by so many, they built me a steeple. The MC of death, my words like poison. If season want to battle me, I just exploit them. My words appear to all like a cloud of smoke. And if you don't get in it clear, you surely choke. You better take heed to what I just said. I'll suck the air out your lung and pronounce you dead. I'm the microphone menace, hurt you like the dentist. The day you battle me will be your finish. MCs contend, but they won't extend, because at the sound of the bell, I bring this battle to an end, leaving every MC in a critical state, even knocking up the devil because he got in my way. I'm so deadly. Had to be quarantined, making the microphone melt as I reach my peak. And yes, I keep teaching. You don't get smarter. Tyson hits hard. Didn't you know I hit you harder? If you don't dance, you will be plundered by this young brother who's like no other, like a cannibal. I'll eat you up. Why don't you face it? Barbecue them seeds. My favorite. My name is, and I'm second to none. After all, there'll be none left when I'm done, because I can walk through fire. I won't perspire. Get out of my face because your rhymes expire. When I'm on the mic, you get on the floor, because they don't make rhymes like these anymore. And anything in my way will be taken to stride while I'm knocking off MCs like a dose of cyanide. MCs plead when they see me. Don't want to tangle with me on the MIC. Dumb me up. Take a chill. Stop and stare at this brother who's giving Freddy Krueger nightmares. To this young MC, there could be no sequel. The name is, yeah, I'm lethal. Come on.
Oh,
That's back when I was MC. That's back when I was MC Al. I was going by my middle name back in the day. Oh, man.
What?
I can't believe I remember
what?
All that. That's crazy.
Studio time 2020. Y'all better get
that
ready.
Was,
old
wow,
back on the
that
forefront.
Was, wow. That was, that had to be like 85, 86. Wow. That was a long time ago.
See,
yeah,
we
man.
Only
yes,
get better
yes, ma'am.
In time. That was
that's
awesome.
Crazy.
High five. Y'all know y'all like that. Listen, that's a part of CIA, no, right? So look at here. Bravo. 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 That's what I'm talking about.
All righty then. All righty then.
Yeah, you ready now?
Can we do it?
This
was just an introduction. All right. All right. So, okay. So, are we doing this NYPD thing now? Because I know you want to hear about that.
Well, listen. Yeah, listen. You let me run the show. You don't tell me. Look at here. You see what I'm
yes,
saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Listen.
Oh,
listen,
see, you know what the
listen,
problem
listen.
Is? See, that's just me what? Just overstepping my bounds. Let me just step back and, you know.
Wait, I'm about to spit out my pee. Right on. Slow down, son.
Yeah,
down,
you're right.
Son.
My fault.
So yeah, okay. So yeah,
my fault.
So yeah,
what
okay. We can switch. We can switch hats now. That was the hat
mm-hmm.
of your MC. So let's switch over
yeah.
to serving and protecting. Like you said, you was inspired yes. by Daddy
What's
George.
That, Father?
I remember Mr.
Yes,
Lake.
Yes, yes, yes.
And into getting into much respect to Ma and Bro
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
and Mr. Lake and your family. Now you are father,
mm-hmm.
son, husband, friend, retiree of the NYPD.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a little bit of what you can or want to share. Why switching the hats from the corporate, because we was in the corporate at the time, right? Trying
mm-hmm.
to find the
yep.
destination where you wanted to go. To
right.
putting on the hat of
right.
walking into the field of the NYPD. Let them know.
Right. So yeah, so like I said earlier, you know, I was really like I was pursuing a computer career big time. You know, I was into programming and building, you know, circuit boards and different things like that. Like that was my my passion, what I wanted to do. And for some reason, I don't know, like, I feel like, you know, like God put me in a position at a particular time where, you know, I took the test, you know, because my stepfather, he encouraged me to take the test. You know, one of the things he said to me, and I'll say this to everybody, you know, who's listening, you know, it's always better to be offered and turn it down than never to be offered at all. You know, that was something he said to me, and it encouraged me to go ahead and take the test and, passed it. And it was at the time when, you know, David Dinkins was the mayor at the time, and he was really trying to, you know, to get the numbers. He had got a lot of money for Safe Streets initiatives. And so, you know, a lot of us got hired. It was a lot of big classes and everything. And, you know, it was something different, you know. The reason why I switched from one to the other was because where I was at wasn't working out, and I'm sure – you know, we can all understand, you know, like sometimes you're somewhere and, you know, things just don't work out, you know, as far as like, you know, employment is concerned. So, you know, when another door closes, another one opens and you make a move. So so I ended up, like I said, in the academy in 1991. I went to the academy 10 days after my 21st birthday. And it was something different. It was something that I was never exposed to. You know, there was never really any law enforcement, you know, in my life, you know, to kind of like, you know, something I can feed off or kind of like get an understanding of what I was going to be exposed to. So it was just like basically, you know, learning on the fly. And I met some really good people in there, you know, some of which, you know, when I see them, you know, we still remember those times of being, you know, in the academy and everything. And it was different, you know, so you had to, you know, you had to do curriculums, you had the three different curriculums, and you had to pass your gym, you know, you had to do a lot of running and, you know, a lot of push-ups, which, you know, back then I was a lot skinnier, so the push-ups were a little bit harder to do than they are now. But, and then I ended up, you know, which is, which is ironic. You know, I ended up patrolling the same area that that T lived in, and I was like, wow, look at the irony of that. You know, like how things came like kind of full circle, and just, you know, just growing up in the NYPD, just kind of growing up because, you know, at age 21, you're still a kid, you know, you're still learning, you think you know everything, but you don't, you know, and you don't realize until you get to our age, you know, I won't say, because I know T probably be mad at me if I say how old we were, but,
no, you know, you don't see because we don't look it. 51, thank you very much, now move forward,
T. So anyway, yeah, so, you know, we think we know so much, you know, just learning and growing up, you know, with the NYPD and just, you know, just some things, you know, you have to like figure out on your own. And then some things, you take example from others and, you know, you decide, hey, listen, you know what, this is what I want to do. This is not what I want to do, you know. And I came out of the academy, you know, that hard nosed, you know, law enforcement, like, you know, like I'm pretty sure that most of your listeners are accustomed to. And it just took, you know, me to kind of, you know, come into my own as far as how I wanted to do things, you know, as far as dealing with people in the street, as far as, you know, that level of respect that, you know, that, that civilians, you know, that civilians, you know, should get, you know. And so, you know, it took, you know, me transitioning into, this is the kind of person I want to be. This is the kind of cop that I want to be. I want to be that cop that, you know, you have a good experience with, and that, you know, like, you know, when I deal with, you know, with the public, they're like, wow, this dude, you know, he was all right, you know, saying I may not have heard everything I wanted to hear from him, but, you know, he was fair and, you know, he was good to me, you know. So, you know, I actually made some friends, you know, that way, you know, dealing with the general public, and just, you know, I did a number of different things in my career, you know, one of which was, you know, community policing, which, you know, I really enjoyed doing community policing because, you know, you got to kind of like going and who knew who you were, and, you know, they had your phone number, they could reach out to you if they had issues and things like that, you know, and then moved into a more, you know, aggressive, like, you know, dealing with violence and stuff like that. So I know I'm speaking fast, but I'm trying to get a lot done in a short period of time. So, so the long story short is, I moved up, you know, I ended up in narcotics. I got promoted to detective, and I moved up to the rank of detective first grade prior to retiring. And I did 30 years and 1 month, on the job before I decided to leave, May of 2021.
Again, much respect to you in every year in Denver that you did while on the force. You are totally appreciated. Please believe you me. And I wanted to bring you on too because, you know, we know the street codes and the boys in blue, they got a bad rap. But because I know you personally, and I know several people from the force, because my family, I have several law enforcement within my family, my own family. And as it be true, people think, you know, I am actually on the force. I've been asked, I guess it's my demeanor, I don't know. When I was working in Midtown and Walking District during my situation of fixing phones, and they thought I literally was part of the 12th. And I'm like, no, I'm here to fix a phone. Do what you do, but let me finish doing what I'm doing, right? But I still get it to today, you know. But what I'm saying is this is about you, C. And, again, I thank you so much. And for those that know you, please know you appreciate it. And with all your brothers and sisters that's on the force, for me, and I know I'm not alone in saying, we see you all as just like one of us. Even those that are doing the wrong thing and they want to, you know, post up and say you this, you that, they have to take accountability for why you are on the police force to serve and to protect. In your 30 years, like you said, you went up the ranks from NYPD to detective to narcotics again. Just tell us a little bit because, again, I know you get a bad rap. and again, like you said, you had to readjust it to fit who you are as a person. And you've seen that, and you get more people to receive you because they see you understand. What is one of the misconceptions that you feel that the civilians have among, as you being a man of color on the force, opposed to your counterpart?
Well, I mean, there's a lot you go through, you know, whether you're black, white, you know, Latino, you know, Asian, there's a lot of things you go through. And, you know, because, you know, you're going to have people who in, you know, in every walk of life, whatever race, you know, religion, gender, whatever case it be, they have a distrust for law enforcement. You know, there's going to be, you know, some people in all walks of life that have a distrust for law enforcement, and they're going to give you some grief about that. You know, one of the things that, you know, I experienced, you know, like with, you know, the Uncle Tom, you know, comments and, you know, like they, you know, they use, you know, they using the black cops to get us and stuff like that. And, you know, then you hear like the KRS-One, the black cop, you know, song, you know, so, you know, there's a lot of, you know, the grief that, you know, you go through. But, like, you know, like I try to, you know, like I try to, like I had to at some point, you know, get to a point in my career and in my life where it's like, hey, listen, you know what, you know, they have their opinions. This is how they feel. You know what I'm saying? Can I make them see or think something different, you know? And sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Sometimes, you know, you're just not going to win. You know, every battle or every outreach is not going to be so much receptive. So that being said, you know, just being on the job, you know, just, you know, knowing some of the things that you go through, like, you know, in the street when it comes to the civilians and when in the precincts or in any of these offices, you know, where you, in the different units where you're trying to, you know, to prove yourself there as well. You know, so you're kind of like in a, you know, in somewhat of a, for lack of a better example, like a tug of war, like you're trying to, you know, you're trying to do the best you can to be a good cop for the civilians. And then you're also trying to, you know, show that you fit in with certain things and, you know, certain units or whatever case it be. And, you know, let's face it, you know, like, you know, the those who get the most recognition are those who deal with the more dangerous elements of the job. So, you know, so you have to go out there and you have to be aggressive as far as, like, you know, taking guns off the street, you know, grabbing guys for these, you know, for these robberies, you know, dealing with GLAs and different things like that, you know. But then you also have to understand that, you know, as much as I'm out there being aggressive and I'm actively pursuing, you know, shooters and people who are in possession of guns and dealers and stuff like that, I also have to be able to turn that off when I'm dealing with somebody who has an issue that they need, you know, me to help them out, you know. So you have to learn how to, you know, cut that off and cut that on, you know. And, you know, it's something that I learned how to do, how to deal with people as an individual, you know, and as much as, you know, we would like to feel like this is something that's, you know, obtainable, it's not always, you know, because I know some civilians out there who feel like, you know, listen, I want to be treated as an individual. You know, I know that, you know, law enforcement deal with a lot of, like, bad people, but you can't look at everybody as being bad people, you know. And law enforcement, we feel the same way. You know, we're not all bad people, but it's just, you know, and, you know, I'm rambling on, but that's just where I'm at, you know, where I was at, you know, at one point in my career. And I just had to learn how to deal with this deal with everyone as an individual, deal with each situation, okay, different than others, you know. So, and that's how my career ended up and why I think I was successful in what it is that I was doing.
Well, that's awesome, as you said. And again, you're not rambling. You say exactly what needs to be said in this hour. Family, I just want to remind you, you're listening to Sound Off, Only Fear Fears, but fear does not live here. I'm your host, Ms. Tanya E., with our special featured guest, retiree, NYPD, detective, Clarence, and chef, Clarence F.
Here we go.
Again, yeah, I got to. Come on, man. This is why we're here, right? So, family, again, just like C said, again, it's all about respecting each other. When you have a job to do, respect each one in their line of occupation. We are all humans. As much as you think we can operate like a robot, turn us off and on, like C said, that tug-of-war syndrome. This affects us mentally, physically, emotionally. Remember, he is, just like the other brothers and sisters on the force, are still human. They have a family to go to. They have themselves to maintain. So, again, respect each other so that we can be in a better space. And, again, see, like you said earlier, being part of the community, and I know of you always being one to give back. Again, that's just who you are. So, again, as much as I can continue to say congratulations, mm-hmm. it's because I know who C is, family.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to cry. I have my sister, I'm not going to cry because you're always just doing kid and play.
And T, can I interrupt you for 1 second, please? Okay. I appreciate all the, you know, like the, you know, the thanks and, you know, the accolades that I get for being who it is I am and what I've done and my accomplishments and everything else. But I just want to put this out there for every man out there, every woman out there, everyone out there doing the right thing and working their hardest, whatever field it might be in, to take care of themselves and their families and just doing whatever they got to do for their families. Everybody, every one of you should be commended because, you know, it doesn't make a difference what it is you do, whether you put on a uniform, whether you're, you know, you're administering medication, whether you're doing talk radio, you know, whether you're just, you know, you're mopping floors and wiping down counters, you know, you're serving burgers or whatever the case may be, you're doing what you got to do to take care of your family. And each and every one of us, each and every one of you guys, everyone should be commended for doing what you have to do.
And I concur. Can I get an amen? I concur, see, regardless upon mm-hmm. the title. So look at here.
Yes.
We're going to switch over to another hat, family. Listen, this is let me put this out here right now just in case we go offline because we're winding down on about 7 minutes. See, do you have an extra 15 minutes, 20 minutes to talk off air where we continue to talk, but family, you all not going to be able to hear us, but you can come back to the archive to hear the entirety of the show.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Thank you so much, C. Appreciate you. So, family, again, if we go off on your end, know we're still talking on the other side, and you can come back to hear the entirety of the show. So, C, with that being said, let's switch another hat to why we are breaking bread again on this beautiful December 2nd. Now you have had
okay.
it's not a hidden talent for those that know you, but for those that did not know of the hat from protecting and serving, that you have a God-given gift of cooking.
Okay.
So we're about to switch the hat.
So we're going to switch the hat, and we're going to get into who, what it is I'm doing now, my current venture, and you know everything is still in the infancy stages, but you know we're full speed ahead with this here. I'll give everybody a little bit of history about you know where I come from when it comes to cooking, when it comes to the makeup of Chef Clay. I grew up around a lot of women, you know, my mom, my grandmother, great-grandmother, aunts, you know, and even some of the men that I grew up around, you know, cooked very well, you know, and, you know, I took a lot of what they were doing and just kind of like, you know, my own experiences in learning how to cook and following their, you know, what they were doing and, you know, a lot of instructions and just, and just paying attention to what was going on in the kitchen, you know, because, you know, being the oldest of the generation, you know, wasn't like, you know, I had a whole lot going on. I didn't have, you know, siblings, you know, to go hang out and play with and stuff like that. It wasn't like, you know, I was old enough really to go outside on my own a lot. So a lot of times I ended up in the kitchen, you know, watching, you know, and just kind of like picking up on little things. And then I got to a point where, you know, getting a little older, you know, and thinking I knew what I was doing. And believe it or not, I don't know about anyone else out there who out there who call themselves chefs or cooks. You know, you mess up a lot before you get it right, you know. So, you know, just figuring out, you know, the temperatures of oils and how long to leave something in and, you know, how long you bake something, what's the temperature on the oven and all those different things. And, you know, and, you know, you start to pick these things up and you start learning little things and picking up all the things along the way from your family. And so now, you know, fast forward to where we are today, you have some things that I have really kind of, in my mind, have perfected as far as being able to cook certain things. I can do them without thinking about them, without thinking about temperatures and stuff like that. I can just, you know, these are things that I can do. So for the last, I would say, say 5 to 10 years in the police department, you know, working in narcotics, you know, we would do a lot of things we would do like as a team, you know, and those things turned into a lot of times we would do like little barbecues during the holidays. You know, we would get together and everybody would bring food in, you know, like a, almost like a potluck kind of thing. And, you know, I had a lot of guys who say, yo, dude, like, you know, the food is good. You know, the food, whatever it is that you're making is amazing. And I'm like, wow, you know, I don't think of it that way. I just look at it like, you know, I'm just making food, you know, the same thing like, you know, like my moms would make, you know. And, you know, so, I had a partner who I was working with before I retired. We'll call him Kenny Mack. That's my last partner. And he owns a party rental business, you know, in addition to working, you know, on the job. And, you know, he was really pushing me to like, really like to do something, you know, with this. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm interested in possibly doing like a food truck or something like that. And he was just like, yo, dude, you really got to like step out there and get this done because, you know, there's a market for, you know, what, you know, your talents and what you can do. And I'm like, I never thought of myself being able to sell food to anyone. It's crazy. I'm like, I can make food. You know, I do barbecues, you know, I have barbecues at the house all the time and people come and it's like, you know, when they leave, they're like, yo, I can't wait for the next barbecue. And I'm thinking it's because we're all together. And I didn't realize it's like, you know, they're coming for the food. So, you know, I apologize for bouncing around so much, but so he's been pushing me to get this done, and I'm like, all right, so I'm retired now, so let me like really kind of look into it and explore like what are some of the things, you know, I can do with regard to, you know, to this. So I really wanted to do the food truck. It seemed like something that was going to be somewhat you know, like a good thing to do, especially considering, you know, during COVID, so many restaurants were closed and, you know, it was just like the food truck business was thriving at the time, or it still continued. So, you know, so I really started looking into that and, I got a call from, you know, one of the guys I used to work with, you know, he retired a little bit before I did. And he was just like, yo, listen, man, I'm throwing a party for, you know, for my aunt, she's turning 60, and just, can I get a couple of trays of food? I was just like, all right, well, I could do that, you know, what do you want, you know? So we came up with a menu, I put that together, I delivered it to him, and he actually, you know, he paid me for it, and was like, you know, I'd never done this before, he paid me, you know, to do this, and before I knew it, he was calling me back, yo, listen, I need you to do this again for me, and like, he was like my first customer. Since then, I think I've had, in the next couple of weeks, I'll be working on like maybe my 10th, between 10 and 12, or my 10th to 12th customer. Just, you know, I have repeat, you know, customers coming back that, you know, want me to make food for them. And so I'm like, okay, I need to, like, really, like, if I'm really going to take this serious, I really need to get into the business aspect of this. So, you know, I started going, taking online courses just to, you know, to take, to get certified with food protection, food service, stuff like that, you know, get my Board of Health certifications. And I reached out to, earlier in the show, we spoke about Eric. And Eric is probably my oldest friend. I know him the longest, but then through Eric, I met Rudy. And, you know, so it's like we're REC, you know, we're REC. It's Rudy, Eric, Clarence, you know. So, and I'm still in communication with them to today. And Rudy, being a very successful business person, I reached out to him and was like, yo, listen, this is what I'm looking to do. And I got on the phone with him for about 30 minutes, and he ran me through the whole thing about, you know, how to set up LLCs and, you know, getting insurance and tax stuff and just everything. And just like, you know, Rudy has just like really been like very supportive and in my corner as far as like really like putting the business together, coming up with a name and everything else. And so, you know, the name of my ex-partner, his party rental company is our Town Party Rental. And I was just like, all right, so I just kind of copied. I bit off his title. So I came up with Our Kitchen Catering because a lot of the other, you know, the other names were kind of taken and that was available. You know, so I just did that. I purchased, you know, my domain through GoDaddy. And so I have our kitchen catering up and running. And then it was like, you know, just trying to figure out like doing a menu, putting together like, you know, website and everything else. I'm like, you know, I got to get this logo together because that's kind of important, like to have a logo so people recognize when they look at something, okay, oh yeah, I know who that is. And I was like, you know, I don't want to have to pay somebody to do a logo. You know, like I know if I had access to, you know, different programs, you know, like PowerPoint and stuff like that, I could probably come up with something. And, you know, like it just always seemed like, you know, like God always has me in a spot for a particular reason. You know, I was on the phone with my sister, and she's like, oh, well, why would you pay to have somebody do your logo? She's like, I do that kind of stuff all the time. Like, you know, so like I thought, you know, she's working on her PhD down in Tennessee, and I know she was into financing, and she's really doing more with like student affairs. So I think she wants to be like a dean of student affairs, and she's working on her PhD and her thesis and everything else. Why would she have time to sit down and do a logo for me? And she sent me two logos, and needless to say, one of them is my logo, and I threw that right up because it's amazing. You know, it just really what I really wanted, and it's perfect. You know, I put it on the menu, and you know, at some point I got to get the website up and running and everything. But so basically what happens now is I have the background in cooking. I think that I can cook pretty well. I can make a lot of different things. Learning how to do, you know, I do soul food, but not just soul food. I can do Italian. I do seafood. I've done seafood events where we've made 25 pounds of crab legs, you know, 10 pounds of shrimp. You know, you do different things like that. You know, I can make chicken franchise. I can do chicken palm. You know, and I have some other things coming up as well. You know, I'm going to be doing, making, you know, I do wings, you know, so I do different things with wings. Some people want them fried. Some people want them different flavors. You know, I do a honey ginger soy with a little orange, you know, and I smoke those wings. It's, you know, you do different things, you know, and, you know, just, you know, putting together the menu, just trying to put together the website, you know, still waiting on my certifications and, you know, like I can cook, you know, now it's a matter of getting the business aspect together, you know? And so that's where I'm at right now. So I've been basically, cooking, you know, four people since maybe about September of 2021.
Well, looking at them pictures, I was like, he's so disrespectful. Oh, my goodness. I'm talking about, wow. So, who's Sookie? So, see. Okay. Kudos
so,
to your
thank
friend.
You so much.
You're going to have to give me his information so I can post it as well on our blog
mm-hmm.
along with your blog. So, again, we give recognition where recognition is due. And as you spoke and stated, you have your whole team surrounding you, and you didn't even realize it. This is your calling. It's been your calling. It's just been hidden because you've been serving and protecting the field. So now you have been put in the field to serve others by way of your cooking. And, again, family, I've always said this. Your occupation is your occupation, but never lose your passion. Always have something to fall back on. We always heard that part. But I feel that a lot of people, even in my journey, I've always held a 9-to-5 or corporate, but I've always done my dancing, the music industry situation on the side because that's been my passion, and working in the community as well. So, see, like you stated earlier, you've been surrounded by women that they were cooking. They was in the kitchen, as well as some of your of men in your life that also knew how to go down in the kitchen. So it's been part of you. So when I say God-given talents, it's because it has been within since, you know, you've been conceived. It's part of your bloodline. So now
mm-hmm.
you're able to share with others. And the 14, which will multiply in 2022, and you're about to get real busy and learning your way around the kitchen. Now, I know you told me why you told us why you guys came up with Our Kitchen Catering,
mm-hmm.
but when I seen that, I was like, I looked at it as your family, all those that are surrounded by you, becoming ours, to from ours to yours. That's how I read it.
Right. Right. Yeah,
that's
basically what it was that I was trying to get across, was because, you know, I take from my mom, from my grandmother, you know, my brother, you know, Alfonso, you know, he also, you know, he throws down in the kitchen as well, and I steal some of his recipes, you know, just you know, a number of different things, you know, like Cherie, she's in the kitchen and she's doing her thing as far as like, you know. You know, there's certain things I don't touch, you know, like her potato salad and, like, her deviled eggs. I don't even bother even going in that direction because I don't want nobody yelling at me because they'll tell you she throws down when it comes to the potato salad and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just that. And it's, even my youngest son, you know, Isaiah, he has some things he goes in the kitchen and he kind of throws together that he likes. And, you know, I'm actually contemplating putting, you know, a few of those things on the menu, you know, because these are things that I think that, you know, that people would like, people would enjoy these things. You know, I like them, you know, we all seem to like them. So why wouldn't everyone else like them? So when I started thinking about that, you know, I started thinking about, like, you know what, you know, this is a collaboration of all of us, you know, the whole family. So, you know, our kitchen, you know what I'm saying? Because I didn't want it to be like, you know, Steve's kitchen, you know, Clay's kitchen, you know, Clarence's kitchen or whatever the case can be, you know, whatever, you know, because I have a, you know, we always have a bunch of, you know, of names or pet names that everybody wants to call us. But, you know, I just thought Our Kitchen was something that would, you know, would show recognition to everybody who's gotten me to where I am right now, as far as, like, you know, as far as being in the kitchen and being able to put a good product out there that, you know, people enjoy, you know.
Well, I get it, and kudos to wifey and son as well, and again, everyone, because that's exactly how I read it. Our is being coming from you all's kitchen to ours, so
mm-hmm.
kudos to the whole team, and make it a family affair. And I think, you know what, by you saying that and knowing how times has changed so much that families are no longer sitting at the table. I don't know what COVID has brought to where maybe families are now coming back to the table, and home cooking is becoming a top priority today opposed to fast foods and so forth. Let's speak about that. Like, what is your perspective on that? Being in the kitchen as a family affair, give us your perspective on the importance of families coming to break bread at the table to enjoy one another, even if it's just that potato salad that I've seen on the website.
Yeah. Oh, man, I tell you, that potato salad is something. That potato salad is something different, I'm trying to tell you. I gotta give kudos to her on those salads, man. She murders the salads. But I'll just give you a quick little story. So we have some folks at the house on Thanksgiving, and usually I put the table together. Like, that's my thing. Like, I like to dress up the table and make it look nice, take a lot of pictures and everything. And so at one point, you know, they're all looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm breaking the table down because I need table to sit at the table and eat, you know, with each other and communicate and conversation and everything else. Because, you know, like most places, you know, well, maybe not like most places, but like how it is normally in my house, you know, I got all these snack tables. So people sit around the living room and they all over the place, and you know, they broke off into little sections or whatever. Like, nah, I'm going to get as many people to the kitchen table as I possibly can, you know, and everybody just sit around and just communicate, you know. So I put everything together, you know, for the purpose of taking photos and everything else. And then, like, boom, all right, everybody get together. We're going to sit down. We're going to make your own plates. I don't make plates. Okay, that's one thing I don't do. I don't make plates. You know, I will cater your event. I will drop the food off. You can come pick the food up. I can even come and set up for you. I got racks, I got sternos, I got trays, I got all that stuff. But, you know, when it comes to putting the spoon in that pan, that's going to be all you. I don't do all of that stuff. But, you know, maybe in another, you know, 6 months to a year, you know, I'll get some more people on the payroll. But I can't be in the kitchen all night and then serve your food during the day. So that's not going to happen. But that being said, yeah, so it's important, you know. Family is very important, you know. And when I say family, I don't mean like, you know, just, mom, dad, you know, your brothers, sisters, you know, your wives, your husbands, or whatever the case may be. I don't mean just that, you know, your sons and daughters. I mean, like, there are people who are really close to you who they're family, you know. They are really family. You know, I look at, you know, when I talk about Eric and Rudy, that's family right there. That's blood, you know. And, you know, that's just – is what it boils down to. And I mean, like, you know, I'm on here right now, you know, with T, and I call her T, you know, because that's just what we call each other, T and C, whatever the case would be. But, you know, I've known her a long, long time. And like, you know, like, that's family to me, you know. It's just like Eric and Rudy. It says, you know, T is family to me, you know. And I remember when she was Tanya.
Don't you talk about my weight. You said, oh, wait, I know exactly where you went with that, Roger.
Tanya. 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 I remember that.
Oh, my goodness. Shut up.
Yeah.
So, oh, my goodness. Shut up. Go ahead.
We're not going there at all. We will not bring that up ever again. But, so, yeah, so like I said, you know, but I had some people to the house, and we needed to be together because, you know, we're going through, you know, a rough time, rough patch or whatever the case would be, and we all just really needed to be together. And I thought it would be good for us to just kind of like be together at the dinner table, eating, laughing, I'm playing music, we're having a good time. And somebody called me out to try to, you know, challenge me on a versus. I don't know why he did that. Because I guess he didn't realize that I know a little bit more about music than he think I did. But, hey, listen. Somebody challenged me on a versus.
Oh, see, now you laughing. But early in the beginning of the show, you was like, oh, T, really? Oh, versus.
No, what I mean, like,
we're listening.
No, what I'm saying, when I say versus, I don't mean like me actually spitting bars and stuff like that. I'm talking about playing music and, like, you know, come on, I can go as far back as you want and as far, you know, up as you want. I can play Drake, you know, I can go back to, you know, Spoonie G. You let me know what you want to do. You let me know where we're going because, you know, I love music, you know. I love music, you know what I'm saying? So music and food, man. So wherever it is, you know, wherever it is, you know, there's some music, there's some food going on where I'm at. There's always going to be some music. I got my HK speaker, you know, I throw on my Apple Music and boom, we're good to go.
Oh, man. I'm just ready to do some cartwheels. I can't do cartwheels. I can see the emoji, but, you know, I'm not doing no cartwheels today. You know my situation. But I can still drop it like a pot, but I may need some help and have the chair, like, right there.
You can drop it, but you need some help getting back up, right?
I fall and I can't get back up. Oh,
yeah,
no, I still got it. I ain't going to lose that. But it's just a thing, like you said, celebrating life, celebrating each other. Loving on one another. Again, like you said, it doesn't have to be blood related. Again, you know, I have to take it where God says, you know, the Bible speaks that a brother, a friend will be closer to you than a brother. And it's, again, just appreciating one another. We all have been through so much. And prior to this COVID-19 situation, to just, again, just our own personal journeys. And there's so many people that's just looking for a friend. And like you said, with Brother Eric and Rudy, I know both of them. And, again, just having those genuine friendships, like brotherhood, they're your brothers, and still being able to be among each other because each and every one of y'all all have families now. We all grown. We're seasoned, you know. And, again, we don't look our age. So I'm okay with us telling them because they're going to do the math anyway. You say you got them 41. And you retired at 30. So 30 plus 21 is what? 51.
Yeah, you're right.
whether they want to go to the microphone or the dance floor or the ones and twos, we got it covered. So,
yeah, nah, you got the dance floor. You got the dance. I can't do that.
Listen, I so appreciate you for breaking bread with us on this day and sharing
just a drop.
Yes, it is. Again, you know, it's just a drop because you're welcome to come back. You know I'm going through situations, so I just wanted to bring you on before I go through my situation, which I will not broadcast because I feel like I didn't talk enough. And it's, again, people get you, people don't. You know I have the attitude. Mm-hmm. You like me, don't you? But I'm not going to disrespect anyone. But, again, you know, people want you to be who they want you to be for them, but not realize that you have your own purpose just the same. So that's why we come together to break bread, to build up, not tear each other down. So here at Sound Off, only fear fears, but fear does not live here. We walk by faith and understand your journey is a testament to help somebody else make it through. It's the same with all of us. If we can get that concept to understand that is our truth, even when we are in storms, the sun is always shining on the other side. Just hold on. Don't quit.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't quit. Recognize each other's seasons. Recognize the root or the triggers that may take you out of character. And just say, listen, I'm not feeling well today. And we accept when others say, not today. Not to push you away, but just, I just need a moment, you know? So, again, see, with our kitchen catering, tell them how they can get in contact with you because, as you stated, you're still building the foundation. But at this moment, how can they get in contact with you and your email? The website email, not your personal email. Let me say that. I didn't tell you to get that one. You know what I mean?
But
tell them how to get in contact with you.
Okay.
Go ahead, man.
Okay, so just because, you know, we're just, like I said, we're just in the infancy stages, and we're just kind of like getting, you know, we're just trying to get the wheels up. So we're primarily, you know, we're based out of Putnam County. We can service Putnam, Westchester, and mainly like northern parts of the city, like mainly like the Bronx or upper Manhattan. You know, we will deliver to you. And the way to get in contact with us is through, it's Clarence, Clarence, at ourkitchencatering.com. You can email me. You can go on to the Instagram, which is Our Kitchen Catering. That's the Instagram name, and you can DM me as well. If anyone needs, you know, like I have the menu, I have a digital menu, and I can send it to you. And just so you know that just because you don't see it on the menu doesn't mean that it's not available. Just ask and just ask for whatever it is you want. I can let you know whether we can, you know, we can accommodate you or not. We'll do the best we can to accommodate you, and we'll go from there. So I look forward to hearing from you guys, even if it's just an inquiry. You want to see the menu, you just want to take a look at the Instagram page and just kind of see what we're doing, you know. And that's where we're at. That's how you can get in contact with me. Feel like I lost you. Hello?
Oh, see, I had you on mute. Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. Because I don't, you know, did you hear me? I'm over here talking, and I'm like, because, you know, sometimes you hear me breathing heavy even though I'm sitting still. Oh, my goodness. You didn't hear nothing I said, right?
Hey,
I'm,
I didn't hear
so anything
you said.
For that
did,
delay.
Did you hear anything that I said? You asked me. You know, you asked me about
said,
the how to get
mute,
contact.
I'm not talking. Okay, so listen, I heard all of this. Look at here. Yeah, it's okay. Listen, this is what we're gonna do. Here I said, I've always asked our guests to give words of encouragement to our youth, and like I was saying, because you come from the actual trenches of seeing the conditions of where they were before you retired, and now being on the outside of still seeing. What words of encouragement will you give them? What words of encouragement will you give parents and guardians of these youth of today? And what words of encouragement will you give the community as a whole? Here go last one. And then words of encouragement to your brothers and sisters that are still on the force.
Wow. I didn't realize I was going to have to take an exam at the end of this. Okay, so, all right.
Hey, you just listen and answer the question.
Yes, ma'am. You know, for the youth, I would say, honestly, I would say what you need to do is you need to recognize, you know, what's important. Okay, and trying to get to where it is you're trying to get to, you know, work towards your strengths, you know what it is that you know what you really want to do, and work towards these things. And don't be discouraged. Don't let no one talk you out of, you know, what it is that you're trying to do, and know the difference between right and wrong, and do what's right. You know, when it comes to parents, be patient. We have to be, you know, a little patient with our youth. We have to know that they are the youth, and you know they're going to be going through their transitions, and you know, and a lot of times, you know, they're trying to find out who they are, discover who they are, and sometimes, you know, a battle is not necessary. Sometimes it just might be a matter of, hey, listen, you know what? Let's just sit down, you know, let's have a meal, let's have a sandwich. You know, maybe whatever case would be, figure out something you could do in the kitchen. Maybe, you know, grab your son or your daughter, you know, go in the kitchen, you guys make a meal together. And while you're in there making the meal together, you can have a conversation about certain things that, you know, you're trying to steer them away from. You're trying to help them with, or whatever case would be. Because, you know, you don't want to get into this, you know, you don't want to be fighting with, you know, with your sons and daughters, because all it does is just, you know, just... it just drives them further away But try to develop a rapport, a relationship that you can kind of like, you know, you can communicate, because communicating is everything. As far as like the community as a whole is concerned, I can say that, you know, listen, don't believe everything you see or hear in the media. Get to know who it is you're dealing with, you know, get to know, what it is you're dealing with, and don't just automatically assume, and just try to let's just try to be together. Let's try to you know, there's so much going on right now, especially in the cities, in the five boroughs, where you know, there's so much violence, there's so many guns, and there's so many shootings and different things that are going on, and you know, we have to come together as a community, as a people, to say, hey, listen, you know, this can't continue to go on, you know, because it's toxic, it's detrimental, it makes us, you know, it just puts everybody on edge. It just makes everyone feel, you know, nervous and uncomfortable about moving around. You know, I have so many people who are telling me now they're afraid to ride the trains and to be on certain blocks and walk, you know, in the city, and people are afraid to leave their homes, and it shouldn't be that way. You know, we have to, you know, as a community, we have to take care of our community and not take advantage of the fact that, you know, we feel as if we can get away with things that, you know, we couldn't, you know, over the past several years. Let's see. So, fellow law enforcement, I would say you have to, you know, you have to be more mindful of who you're dealing with. You know, treat people as individuals and not just as, you know, everybody in this building is all screwed up. So everybody in this building gets treated like they're all screwed up. No, because there may be a lot of people, the majority of people in that building, who are hardworking people, you know, who get up every morning and go to work the same as you do, and don't appreciate, you know, that you're treating them like, you know, the people in apartment 1C people in apartment 1C, and nothing against it. It's just for example. I don't want anybody who actually live in apartment 1C to be pissed with me, but you know, it's just, you know, some people need more aggressive policing, and some people need to feel like, you know, they're safe and they're protected, you know. And that, you know, you're looking at them as individuals, as hard workers, the same as we are. Did I cover all the bases? Am I good? Did I do okay with
you,
that
you
one?
You are good. You are good.
I'm trying to figure this out because like, you know what? Because you know what happens is, like, it's always crazy because, like, sometimes I get put into these positions where it's like, I'm somewhere at a function or at a party or just at a barbecue, and then it's like, come say something. Like, wait, what? Hold on a second. I didn't get a chance to write this down and rehearse it and go over it. And so, like you said, there are no scripts, so I just have to say, I have to say what's on what just at the top of the head.
That's what it is. When you always have to be ready. So you know, when things come, you already, what's that? You already ready. Stay ready. You don't have to get ready if you stay ready.
Right.
So again, this is here, a sound of Only Fear Fears, but fear does not live here. This is a place where we just break bread, and you know, I mentioned this so many times before. I don't gossip. I'm not a gossiper. I like to come to break bread with people that are doing things that are about community, about laughter, about love, about giving back, about building. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's why, you know, God led me to do this. You know, again, it's just one of my other personalities that I'm grateful that I've been afforded. Right. So there's no script here. So, again, you know, you season. So you may lose a train of thought.
Right. So listen, I want to just say one thing before, because I know we're going to have to go soon, but I want to just say one thing that just popped into my head just now. I remember many moons ago, they were looking to bring more minority individuals onto the police department. So they had myself and some others, you know, they put us in these nice fancy vans, and we went out to hand out applications and try to encourage, you know, people in the inner city communities just to take the test and come on the job. And so many people who I was really focused on the targeting were like, no, I don't want to do that. That's, you know, that job is whack. All you guys do is harass people. All you guys do is, you know, want to do this and do that and harass people, whatever case it be. And, you know, I just have one thing to say to everyone who feels that way, you know, change comes from within. So if you have an issue with the way, you know, you feel the way things are going as far as, like, you know, policing is concerned, then give it a shot. Give it a shot. Give it a try. And like I said, change comes from within, because if you don't like certain things, the only way you can really change it, a lot of times, the only way you can really change it is by being a part of it, and then you can change it from within. And that's what basically, you know, not the reason why I came on the job, but one of the things that I actually did kind of, you know, like tailor my, you know, my policing around is like trying to do something different than what is always being done, you know, and making doing the job, but not, you know, not making people feel threatened by me doing the job.
Yes. Change starts within, and you are so right, Z. You are so right. It's easy to talk about it, but you have to be a doer. So with that being said, thank you so much again for coming on, being vulnerable, breaking bread with us. And again, thank you so much for being you. And even though you are being you, we as a whole are still under construction. But thank you so much for serving the streets of New York and beyond. For 30 years. So we actually
appreciate you.
Congratulations on your new venture.
Thank you so much. I just have one last thing to say to you.
I told you you were seasoned. Go ahead.
Tanya.
Oh, I heard what you said. Okay, that's an insight on family. But look at here, see. Thank you so, listen. Okay. Thank you so much. Much respect. God bless you, your entire family. I'm going to have to get wifey potato salad one of these days. But, again, thank you so much.
I got that for you. And listen, all my prayers are with you and, you know, and everything. And, you know, just keep me posted on, you know, what's going on with that. And in addition to that, you know, like this thing here, this is great. This is amazing. And it felt good to get on and just be able to talk and get some things off my chest. And I hope that, you know, this is something that continues on and thrives and, you know, becomes more successful for you. And then you get some more people on and just hope this keeps going. This would be great, you know.
Listen, see, I'm about ready to retire from the whole thing. But
you can't do it. We need you. No, we need you.
Listen, you're right. Again,
you know,
I will always be part
listen,
of
if
the
Charlemagne growth. could get a TV show choking you.
Don't you
let's
even
go.
Mention
get
that
it.
Thing up on here. Look at here. I keep 100. Listen, don't even bring that energy over here. X out.
If he can get a TV show, so can you.
Well, we already know. Listen, I don't even want to be even in the industry. I never like being in the front of the camera. I always like to do what I do and keep it moving. Mm-hmm. So if God sees fit in the industry, because I'm seasoned to know the logistics and all this situation within it. But I'm comfortable. God, this is what I would say before we get off. When I started the industry, you know my track records, right? And all I want to do was dance. All this other stuff that was coming into play, I prayed to just ask God, I just want to be comfortable. It wasn't about me being in the front line and people calling my name. This is some of the things I always said to my son and to my sisters, you know, remember Sabrina, or anyone, even a youth. Be mindful upon why you want to be called and known. When you touch that microphone, you are responsible for what you say, and know that it's a small tool, but it's very powerful. There are so many people that are misusing these devices and outlets with just running their mouths, but they're causing so much havoc. Whew. See, about to make me go to Harriet Tubman.
Yeah, save us. Save us. Get us out of here.
Listen, poor Harriet Tubman's like, enough is enough. Listen,
save us.
Look.
Oh,
oh
man.
Goodness.
Yeah, this was fun. This was fun.
Yeah, we could come on another time whenever y'all got something going on. But let me get through this little next journey that I am enduring at this point. But
definitely,
again,
do what you
got to
do. Okay. All right. Listen.
Now let me finish,
and,
Mr. Wait, you can't cut off yet.
No.
You can't see that
again. I've been trying to do your show. My fault.
You can come back as a co-host. Why don't we bring Eric on the next time?
This is your show. Okay,
this is your show.
This show is not mine.
It's ours. It's not mine. It's ours. God just allowed us to be
the
forefront.
No,
the
kitchen. The kitchen is ours. The show is
yours. No, y'all can't. You're not the owner of ours. It's our kitchen. This is our show. Okay?
Okay,
got you. Our show, because it's sound off. So, okay,
I got you.
So look at here. Enjoy the rest of your day. But before we go, family, again, we want to thank our special featured guest, retiree NYPD Detective Clarence / Chef Clarence, for breaking bread with us, family. Again, we hope and pray that the words and our breaking of the bread of friendship extends from here to you and to all of yours, as well as your community. And again, just because that man and woman is wearing a uniform, please remember they too are human. We have donkeys in every line of field of occupation. But give respect, receive respect. And if you have a problem, there's always someone else you can talk to deal with the individual. So, family, thank you so much for tuning in. And before we go, I have another tune I'm going to play. Ha-ha, because that's what we do here. And being that we were talking about Kid and Play, ha-ha, and all this and that with C, Clay, and Eric, and our brother that is watching over us from the heavens, then all this and that, we want to go out with Kid and Play with Getting Funky. So we're getting funky, y'all. So y'all be sure to go and follow Chef Clarence off of their Instagram, Our Kitchen Catering, and stay tuned for his website. And in the meantime, email him, like he said. You can DM him. He has a list. This is just the beginning. But if you don't see what you like, just inquire. So, family, and see, let's continue to celebrate life to the fullest. Thanksgiving is not on no Thursday of November. Thanksgiving is every day. So let's continue to celebrate life. Laugh a lot. Enjoy one another. But know you as well have to take time out for you. And love on yourself first so that you can love on everyone else. So, family, with that being said, I am your host, Miss Tanya E., also known as Miss Right Now, with our special featured guest, Detective NYPD retiree Clarence F. And you know what? We're going to dance on out of here. See? Talk to you at a new time.
Soul power, we get funky. good deal.
Riding the reins on the rap frontier. Here is where we stand by popular demand. Let's have a hand for the four-man band. All the MCs in the duck trailing. We got Quick on the horn just wailing around. If you're feeling down, we're gonna cure that. Oh, with the hyped up sound, making sure that the truth is gonna stay at the end of the night. I bet the boys were right.
And they rocking my kick funky.
With me, we're getting funky.